He is with us. He has graced our presence with His holy presence. Amen. He's in this place today. He is the special guest. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Would you say that name with me, please? Jesus. Come on, say it again. Jesus. Say like you know Him. Jesus. Say like you love Him. Jesus. Oh, one more time and make the devil nervous. Jesus. Ah, oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. The Bible declares, and His name shall be called Jesus. The Bible declares, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and hath given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, church, how many of you know there's power in that name? How many of you know there's power in the words we speak? So therefore, I want you to turn to somebody and say, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Tell them, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you. Tell somebody else, I bless you in the name of Jesus. One of the meanings of the word bless means empower to prosper. Hallelujah. In power to prosper. So therefore, church, I bless you. May you be empowered to prosper in every area of your life. Well, church, I want to say it's so good to be back. It's so good to come back once again to this great church here at Grace Community. I bless you. I honor you. But especially, I want to say how much I love and appreciate our pastors. How many of you love and appreciate Pastor Norris? Yeah. Hallelujah. And Pastor Cindy, say amen. Oh, they're special. We honor them. Amen. But today, we've come above all things to honor Him who alone is worthy. It's not about me. It's not about you, but it's about Him. He is to be honored. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, God is good. I can't wait to get into the Word of God. How many of you love the Word? How many of you love the Word of the Lord? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Job said, I esteem the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. The psalmist David said, I rejoice at His word as one that findeth great spoil. Jeremiah said, Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Jesus said, Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the writer of Hebrews said that His word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, there's something about His word. Amen. Amen. It'll put you over. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me say this. You don't want to miss tonight. Everybody shout tonight.
Tonight.
Shout it again.
Tonight.
Now, I'm going to do something tonight. In fact, I'm changing directions, if that's okay. I was going to preach in one direction tonight. I thought I was. But the Lord woke me up early this morning and said, Son, don't go that way. Go this way. How many of we need to go God's way? And I'm going to do something. In fact, Brother Norris and Miss Cindy's never heard this before. But January the 1st of 1987, 21 and a half years ago, I had a visitation from God. And for many years, I never shared this very much because some things are very near and dear to your heart. And some things you want to share because it's like casting your pearls before swine. Some things you don't share. And for many, many years, for 18 years, I did not share that. I did not share that, but just a few times. I would say in 18 years, I maybe shared it. I would say I didn't share it maybe a dozen times in 18 years. But 3 years ago, a man of God that was used mightily of God said, "You've done wrong. You've done it a service to the body of Christ. And from this day forth, I challenge you as your elder brother. I challenge you as your elder statesman in the Lord to begin to share this more and more and more." And since March the 22nd, when he spoke that word to me, when he challenged me, I've been sharing it more and more. Not all the time, but as God directs. You say, "Well, what happened?" In January the 1st of 1987, God came down in my office. God came down and pinned me to the floor, a visitation from Almighty God. And for over an hour, I could not get up. And God spoke some things to me. And God said, "Son, I'm going to turn it for you." How many of you need God to turn some things for you? Anybody here? Oh, yeah. And we were in debt. We were in debt. We were so deep in debt. We had so many creditors. They were carpooling over to my house. It was so bad, some of them had me on speed dial. Oh, but let me tell you something. God spoke to me in that time of visitation. He said, "Son, if you'll begin to do these things that I tell you, I'm going to turn it for you." And in a short period of time, God supernaturally got us out of debt. In a very short period of time, we did not have a car payment, didn't have a mortgage payment, didn't have a credit card payment. You say, "What happened?" God came down. And this morning, the Lord woke me up. I sat up in bed. I was talking to the Lord most time. He says, "Son, I want you to tell the saints tonight what I've done for you. And tell them this, what I've done for one, I will do for another one." How many of you are ready for the Lord to come on down? Everybody shout, "Come on down." Oh, yeah, to come on down. I believe God has a good plan for you. I said a good plan for you. Well, what is that good plan? That's G-O-O-D. What is that? That's get out of debt. Hallelujah. Well, that's tonight you don't want to miss. Amen. Well, how many have your Bibles with you this morning? Why don't you hold them up high and just make the devil nervous? Hallelujah. Say this after me, please. Say, "Book of the Ages.
Book of the Ages.
How I love thy pages." Would you stand, please, for the reading of the word of the Lord? Hallelujah forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore. God is so good. God is so good. I believe that today is a day of new beginnings for you. I said, I believe that today is a day of new beginnings for you. It doesn't matter what it's been like in days gone by, and weeks gone by, and months gone by, and years gone by. Hear me. I believe that today is a day of new beginnings for you. Turn, please, to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We're going to begin with verse number 46. Once again, that's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, beginning with verse number 46. Now, that's the Amplified Bible. I'm reading from the King James Version. That's the holy version, the same one that Moses preached from, that Paul preached from. Somebody said, "What about all these versions of the Bible?" Well, I believe there's some wise versions and some foolish versions. You'll catch that pun, that run on words. But notice, please, Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse number 46. "And they came to Jericho, And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Church, it's time to seize the now. I said it's time to seize the now. It's time to seize your opportunity. It's time to seize it because Jesus is passing this way. Hear me. Hear the heart of the servant today. Don't let your miracle pass you by. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. And I believe that a faith shall arise and people shall seize the now. They shall seize this moment. We thank you, Father God. We bless you. And all of God's people said together, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's time to seize the moment. It's time to lay hold of it. Don't let your miracle pass you by. In another portion of Scripture, when Jesus was walking on the water toward his disciples, the Bible declares, and Jesus would have passed them by. And my friends, whatever it takes, don't let Jesus pass you by. Don't let your miracle pass you by. Now, some time back, I heard a great man of God, Dr. Oral Roberts, make this statement. He said that miracles pass us by every day. Now, when he said that, my first response is, yes, that's right. But when he said that, something began to rise up on the inside of me. I said, maybe so, but it's time for that to stop. It's time for miracles to stop passing us by. And it's time for miracles to start manifesting in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our ministries, in our churches. My friends, don't let your miracle pass you by, because our God is a miracle-working God, and miracles are the children's bread. And whatever it takes, rise up and say, this is my day. This is my time. This is my season. And I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. You see, he is a mighty God. He is a powerful God. He is a mighty powerful God. He's a miracle worker, and there's nothing too hard for our God. And remember this, what he's done before, he will do it again. He is the same. He said, for I am the Lord, and I change not. The Bible says, but he is unchangeable. It's not that God has changed. He changes not. But so many of God's people, they've changed because they are not seizing the now. They're not seizing the moment. They're not seizing the opportunity. But my friends, whatever it takes, Everybody shout, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, don't let your miracle pass you by. Now, I want you to see this scene here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Now, according to church historians, this was the last time that Jesus of Nazareth passed through Jericho on his way to Calvary. It was the last time. But notice this, Bartimaeus, sitting by the highway side begging, he did not know that it was going to be the very last time that Jesus would pass that way. And so many times we say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week, next month, or whatever. But realize this, there may not be a tomorrow. There may not be a next week. There may not be a next month. And so why don't you go ahead and seize the now. Seize the opportunity. Don't let your miracle pass you by. I feel it kicking in right about now. Hallelujah. I said don't. Let your miracle. Now, what is your miracle? What is it you need? He is. I said, whatever you need, He is. And Jesus is passing this way. And Jesus is your miracle. Jesus is your healing. Jesus is your answer. Jesus is your victory. Jesus is your deliverance. Whatever you need, He is. And whatever it takes, say, hey, this is my day. This is my time. And I'm not going to let my Jesus pass me by. Now, as I begin to study this portion of Scripture the last few days, there are several things the Lord calls me to lay hold of. Several things that begin to jump out at me from the Word of God. And I want you to begin to mark some of these things down. Note some of these things. First of all, Bartimaeus heard about the miracles of Jesus. He heard about the miracles of Jesus. Now, Bartimaeus was sitting there by the highway side begging. Now, all of a sudden, Bartimaeus heard the commotion. He heard the ruckus. He heard the passers-by. And Bartimaeus began to say, hey, what's going on? What's happening? What's going on here? And people kept walking by, but Bartimaeus persisted. He said, what's going on? What's happening? What's taking place? Why the great commotion? Why the noise? What's going on? And somebody slowed down just long enough. And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And He's passing your way. Oh, let me tell you something. At that moment, fireworks began to go off on the inside of Bartimaeus. They said, it's Jesus of Nazareth, and He's passing this way. Now, they could have said, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker is passing this way, and he wouldn't have got all ruffled up. Oh, but when they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth, He's passing this way. All of a sudden, something began to happen. Something began to take place in the life of Bartimaeus. Why? Because Bartimaeus had heard before about this Jesus. As people had passed by him before, he'd heard the conversations of this Jesus. And remember, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Bartimaeus had heard, I'm asking the question, but what had Bartimaeus heard about this Jesus of Nazareth? What had he heard? He had heard how God had anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, how Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He heard how Jesus had fed the 5,000, how He turned the water into wine, how He walked upon the water, how He cleansed the leper, how He raised the dead, how He gave miracles in the sight of utter despair. He heard about Jesus. You're the Jesus was a compassionate man, a healing man, a loving man. And Barnabas began to say, hey, if it's done it for one, I believe you'll do it for another one. I've heard that this Jesus is no respect for persons, and he's passing my way. He's passing my way. He's passing my way. I'm asking you the question, who was passing his way? Who was passing his way? Let me tell you who was passing his way. The great I am that I am was passing his way. Emmanuel was passing his way. The great Creator was passing his way. The balm of Gilead was passing his way. The way, the truth, and the life was passing his way. The Lord Most High was passing his way. Oh, Barnabas heard about the miracles of Jesus. And I'm asking, have you heard what he's done before? He's healed people of cancer and arthritis and AIDS and lupus and scoliosis and diverticulitis. He's set people free of addictions and habits and hang-ups. What have you heard? Well, hear me. What he's done for one, if you'll believe him, he will do for another one. Yes, Barnabas heard about the miracles of Jesus. Then all of a sudden, Barnabas began to cry out for his miracle. You can cry out for somebody else's miracle. That's good. That's commendable. But I believe it's time for you to cry out for your miracle. And Barnabas began to cry out for his miracle. Sitting by the highway side, hearing about Jesus of Nazareth passing by, faith began to rise. Now all of a sudden he lifted up his voice and he began to cry out. What did he say? Jesus! Come on, say that name with me. Jesus, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My friend, that was not a cry of utter despair. That was not a cry of doubt. But I believe from the depths of my heart, it was a cry of faith. He was saying, I believe this is my day. This is my time. This is my season. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. See on me. But the religious crowd, the religious bunch begin to say, shut up, Barnabas. Stop that. Don't get too worked up. Don't get too emotional like that. Shut up. It's time to be calm in church. Now let me tell you something. We come to church and we're cool, calm, and collective. Come on now. We come to church and we just sit there. But honey, it's time to run and shout. It's time to celebrate. Come on. Shout amen. Woo! I feel it coming on. Now, I didn't get a chance to go yesterday, but last Saturday on the 6th, I got to go with my son to that great school, Virginia Tech, to watch them play a great football game. And I was in that stadium, Lane Stadium, to see about 50,000 people. It's rated one of the loudest stadiums in the country. I mean, that place was just shaking, rattling, rolling. And let me tell you something, my team scored. I didn't just sit there saying, way to go. No, I'm here today. I was on my feet. I was getting loud. I was getting down. Hallelujah. But nobody turned to me and says, won't you calm down? Won't you take it easy? Won't you chill out? Well, let me tell you something, church. Jesus is passing by. I said, Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. Hallelujah. It's time to lift up your voice. It's time to lift up your voice and cry out. It's time to cry aloud. Hallelujah. Yeah, but somebody around me may tell me to calm down. Honey, don't worry about what they have to say or think or do. Honey, if you were intimidated, denominationalized.
If you're intimidated or manipulated by people around you, then, honey, you don't deserve that miracle. Oh, but Barnabas cried out. Everybody shout, cry out. And you need to begin to cry out. The Bible tells us to cry aloud. Lift up your voice unto God. To cry, to call unto Him. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. Joel chapter 2, verse 32 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. The Bible tells us in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks of the receiveth, and he that seeketh find, and to him that knocketh, the door shall be open. James 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. So it's time to cry out. I'm not saying all the time in the natural, and we need to do that, honey. It's okay to shout. Come on now. Somebody said, Brother Johnson, why do you shout? I shout because he brought me out. Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about the natural. It's okay to. It's okay. It's okay to lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and begin to praise him. Come on now. But with your spirit, with your faith, begin to cry out. Now, March of this year, I was at a church in Miami for two services, on Sunday morning services, the Central Bible Church. And here was the first service. I mean, God had moved, and it was kind of going on kind of lengthy. And we'd gone on past the time we should have closed, but, I mean, you can't shut down God. Come on now. And so it was kind of getting to the point we had the close down for the second service. And I was getting ready to turn it back over to the pastor. And as I was saying, Pastor, would you come? About that time, I turned and I heard somebody. I heard somebody. Not with the natural, but with that cry of faith. I turned and I said, honey, would you stand up quickly, please? And I said, stand up. What is it? What is it? What is it? And this one lady, she stood up. Oh, precious sweetheart. She was about 34 years of age. And she stood up. And she said, Brother Johnston, I was not going to let this service close until I received my miracle from God. And I said, honey, I said, what are you believing for? Tell me right now. What is it? She said, we've been married now for 12 years and I've been believing God for a child. I've been trying to get pregnant for 12 years and I believe that God is bigger than my barrenness. I said, you better get ready. You better get that nursery ready because the baby's coming. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you, about a month and a half later, I got an email from her saying, Brother Johnston, guess what? I am great with child. Hallelujah. But you see her faith begin to cry out. Let your faith begin to cry out. Hallelujah. What are you believing for? Cry aloud. Rachel, she was barren. She was barren. But in Genesis 30, verse 1, she cried out in faith. She said, give me children, lest I die. And God blessed her with two, with Joseph and Benjamin. Jacob cried out in faith. In Genesis 36, verse 25, he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And God blessed him and turned him from Jacob to Israel, a prince with God and with man. Let your faith begin to cry. And when you begin to hear about the miracles of Jesus, when you begin to hear about the glory and the splendor and the majesty of the Most High God, faith will arise and you will begin to cry. Cry out as well. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But something happened. They began to say, shut up, Barnabas. They tried to hush him up. They tried to silence him, but something else happened. What was it? Barnabas, he refused to let anything or anybody hold him back from his miracle. I mean, people have told you it's not going to happen. It's not going to work out. Why don't you forget about it? Why don't you quit? Why don't you give up? Why don't you throw in the towel? Honey, keep on pushing. Keep on pressing. Keep on pursuing. Oh, yeah. I mean, they said shut up, but the Bible tells us that Barnabas began to cry the more. He cried out the more. He got a second wind of faith. And he cried out the second time. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, the first time it sounded good. Why change? He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, say that, please. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Say it again. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, why change, honey? Why change? I mean, don't get caught up some newfangled fan. I mean, stick with the same thing that works. Hallelujah. Jesus, thou son of David, the same thing. The same thing. The same thing. Everybody shout, the same thing. Years ago at a church in West Columbia, Texas, Pastor B.B. Hankins, Brother Hankins. There's two ladies in this church there at West Columbia Christian Center, and they always like to jump up and get the jump start on the other to give the interpretation in tongues. They loved us. I mean, the message in tongues, those two ladies would try to be the first one up. And sometimes one would give an interpretation in tongues, and when she'd finish the other, jump up, give another interpretation in tongues. I mean, this went on for years and years and years. They'd try to beat that other. I can beat that testimony. You know, come on now. I can beat that interpretation. Come on now. I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, Brother Hankins told me the story. He said one time there came forth a message in diverse kinds of tongues. One of the ladies jumped up. She jumped up and she began to give the interpretation. It was a powerful, mighty, unknown interpretation. Everybody knew it was the voice of heaven speaking. And everybody turned to the lady. See what she's going to say. And she was standing as well. She said, thus saith the Lord, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. I mean, some things you can't, you know, improve on. Hallelujah. And so Barnabas cried out the second time. He said, Jesus, honey, why don't you get persistent? Hallelujah. I know there's going to be opposition against you, but remember this one thing. Persistence always overcomes resistance. Hallelujah. He said, been knocked down, honey, you've been knocked down, but get back up and keep on going. Everybody shall get up and keep on going. Hallelujah. Get up and keep on going. He cried out the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when he cried out like that, you know, the Bible doesn't say he cried out the second time. The Bible doesn't say he cried out the third time, the fourth. It just, he cried out the more. You mean I've got to do it two times? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe three. Maybe not. Four. Maybe not. What do? You do it until. Let your faith continue to cry. The cry of faith. The cry of faith. The cry of faith. And Jesus was passing by. And he cried out, Jesus. The Bible tells us, and Jesus stood still. Faith will always get the attention of the Lord. Amen. And he stopped in his tracks. Jesus stopped in his tracks. And he said, bring him to me. Yeah. Now, the King James Version says that same crowd. How many of that same crowd is around today? The world of crowd, the traditional crowd. Come on now. You know the crowd, the world, the flesh, the devil crowd. I mean, they've been telling Barnabas a few moments ago, shut up, calm down, stop that. Don't shout in church. But when Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. Bible says they went over to him and says, be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. He calleth for thee. No, that's good. But I was reading in the Message Bible, and the Message Bible, it reads a little bit differently. And they said to him, cheer up, boy. It's your lucky day. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And the Bible says that he arose. My Lord, don't stay there anymore. Honey, Jesus is calling for you. I said he's calling for you. He's calling for you personally. The Bible says that he arose and he cast away that garment that he wore. Now that garment was a certain kind of a garment. It symbolized that he was a beggar. He wore the garment of a beggar, but he got up. Come on. He cast that garment aside. He said, I'll need this no more. He said, I ain't going back. That may not be good grammar, but that's good gospel. Yes, hallelujah. He said, I ain't going back. This is a new day for me. How many of you would say, this is a new day for me? It's a new day for me. Come on now. It's a new day for me. Oh, it's a new day. It's a new day. Everybody shout, it's a new day. He's calling for you. He said for you, it's time to get up out of your garbage and junk and trash and filth. It's time for you to get up out of your fear and worry and depression and sickness and poverty and lack. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. Oh, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. He said, but I've been knocked down. Oh, get up. Get up. Everybody shout, get up. Get up. The Bible tells us in Micah 7 verse 8, rejoice not against me, oh, my enemy, when I fall, for I shall arise. One of the greatest athletes of all time is Walter Payton. Walter Payton was one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. At the end of Walter Payton's career, they interviewed him, and the girl during the interview said this, Walter, we've ran the statistics we found out in your great illustrious career that you've run right at 9 miles on the football field. His response was, wow. And they said, and we have also calculated the statistics, found out that you ran an average of 4 yards a carry. Now that's amazing right there. Sometimes you run the ball for 4 yards, 5 yards, 10 yards, sometimes 20 yards, sometimes no yards, sometimes lose yards, sometimes lose 5 yards. But the average time he had the ball in his hands, he ran for 4 yards. What was his response to that? Wow. And she said, also we found out then your career that you were tackled right at 4,000 times. Now, that's amazing. His response to that was, that's not the amazing thing. She said, well, if that's not the amazing thing, what is amazing? He said, it's not that I was tackled 4,000 times, but I got up 4,001 times. And at the end of the interview, she said, do you think that you could go out there and run 9 more miles? He said, well, I say this. I don't know if I can get out and run 9 more miles, but I believe I can get up one more time and run 4 more yards. Hallelujah. Everybody shout 4 more yards. And that's what God is saying to you. You've been knocked down, but he's calling for you. Won't you get up? Won't you get up? Won't you get up? This is your day. This is your time. This is your season. Season. Don't let your miracle pass you by. Everybody shout 4 more yards. He's calling for thee. And the Bible tells us that Barnabas arose. He cast away his garments. Look at it, look at it. The Bible says, and he went to Jesus. He did something right. He went where? To Jesus. I'm so thankful he did not go to Peter, James, and John
He didn't go to Andrew, Nathaniel, or Barnabas, or Bartholomew, but he went to Jesus. And people wonder why they're not receiving from God. Come on now. I mean, they're going to Brother Doodot, or Sister Double Dot, or your favorite minister, Sister Shondalai, Brother Whoop-a-Deedle. Honey, let's go to Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. And he went to Jesus. And when he got there, Jesus said to him in verse 51, he said, "What wilt thou that I would do unto thee?" In other words, he said, "What do you want? What do you want? What are you believing for?" He asked a specific question. And guess what he wanted? A specific answer. Well, whatever God wants, whatever God wants me to have, whatever God wants. Honey, forget it. Hang it up. It's not going to happen. Barnabas was specific about his miracle. What do you want? God, just give us more people. Well, God, but it doesn't matter. Just give them more honey. You better ask for the right kind. You may get a bunch of fruit flakes and nuts. It's time to be specific. Everybody shout, "Be specific." Be specific. What are you believing for? Oh God, whatever God wants. Honey, be specific. We're believing for 300 strong. And then we're believing for 500 strong. What are we believing for? Focus your faith like an arrow. What are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing for? I'm asking the question, what are you believing for? Be specific. God, I'm believing you to heal and deliver and fill my son, my daughter, my wife. I'm believing. Be specific. Come on, shout amen. Amen. He said, "What would thou that I would do unto thee?" Asked him a specific question. And Barnabas said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What happened? Barnabas then received his miracle. You can come to that point where you're crying out to God for your miracle. You believe in God and you're specific. But then at that point, what do? It's time to receive your miracle. It's time to receive your miracle. You got to be tenacious about it. You got to be tenacious about it. I said you got to be tenacious like a bulldog, like a pit bull with lipstick. You got to be tenacious. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You got to hold on. You got to hold on. And you got to speak the word. Hallelujah. Continue to receive with faith. Hallelujah. Your miracle. Your miracle in faith. Begin to rise in faith. Begin to rise into Broadnecks, Virginia. I was preaching on one time, receiving by faith. And there was a lady there by the name of Lila Walker. I'll never forget Sister Lila. Many years ago, as a young child, she fell off the high porch at her parents' home in the country. And here they were back during the Depression days. And her arm never healed properly. They tried to put it in a homemade sling. It never healed properly. And she could never move it more than that. But here it was in that service in Broadnecks, Virginia. I said, "Receive your miracle. Receive your miracle. Receive your miracle." And Sister Lila Walker said, "It's my day. It's my time. I'm not going to let it pass me by." She said, "Lord, I'm believing for the healing of my arm to be made whole, correct." And all of a sudden, she said, faith began to rise and said something happened. She threw that arm up, and everybody in the whole church could literally hear it. They could hear the bones begin to snap out. And in a moment's time, that arm was completely healed after 70 some odd years of having like that. Honey, you've got to begin to cry out in faith. Cry aloud. Come on, shout amen.
I was in Whitwell, Tennessee with Pastor John Hughes at the Greater Whitwell Church, and here we were on a Monday night, and I was preaching on faith, receiving by faith, receiving by faith, receiving by faith. And about that time, a young lady came walking in the church house, the sanctuary, with the baby in her arms. And I don't know who she was. Never saw before, but I came on preaching. Receive my faith, receive my faith, receive my faith. She sat down and faith began to rise. Faith began to rise, faith began to rise. And I sensed something was happening. I sensed that faith was arising in her heart. And I didn't know her, didn't know her, didn't know the baby in her arms. But all of a sudden I went back to her. And the lady's name was Renee Stevens. I went back to her and I laid my hands upon that little baby. I said, this baby shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. When I did that, all of a sudden that baby began to shout. That mama began to shout. The whole church began to shout. I wanted to shout, but I didn't know what they were shouting about. I mean, that whole church went out of pandemonium. I'm talking about you couldn't get a man. They were just praising God, rejoicing, magnifying God. I mean, they were getting downright Pentecostal. Whoa! Hallelujah! And I was just sitting there, you know, just smiling. And I knew something good was happening. Then Pastor John Hughes came over. He said, folks, hear me. Oh, he said, I know we're rejoicing. We got a reason. But Brother Johnston does not know what's happening. I said, no, if you know, please help me out here. He said, this is my daughter. And this is my baby, my grandson. And I didn't know they were coming here. They surprised me. They drove over from Gaston, North Carolina. Oh, and they were going to surprise. Oh, the pastor, she did. Well, Brother Johnston, but you know, my little grandson here is Hayden Stevens. He was born a few months ago with a condition that I call bundle brain blockage. There's no cure for that. And every baby that has that condition lives no more than a year or so at the most. And the doctor said, there is no hope. There is no cure for this condition. I didn't know that. But that little mama, oh, faith began to rise. She said, I'm going to receive my miracle. Oh, I got good news. Renee Stevens took that little baby boy, Hayden Stevens, back to the doctor in Gastonia a few weeks after that. And the doctor said, Mrs. Stevens, I do not know what in the world you're trying to pull on me, but this is not the same baby that she brought in, because this baby is perfect. This baby is healthy. This baby is whole. This baby is normal. Hallelujah. Why don't you have the same attitude of faith? Why don't you have the same cry of faith? Come on, shout amen. What are you saying? I'm saying don't let your miracle pass you by. Would you stand, please, everybody, right now? Hallelujah. Oh, come on up, praise team. Musicians, come on up. Hallelujah. Oh, come on up quickly. Hallelujah. Raise your hands. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Honey, oh, come here. You step down. You better step down. Give me an usher right now. Give me an usher. Honey, raise your hands up. The faith begin to rise in your heart today. I saw you coming. God said the faith has arose. Get ready. He's going to touch you right now. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, lay your hands right here. Lay your hands right here. Is that right? Are you ready? God said in the upper chest area right there, He's going to touch you. In the lower extremities, God's going to touch you down. Oh, raise your hands and begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on, somebody. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Oh, this is your day. This is your day. This is your day. Hallelujah. If you need a healing, begin to praise Him. Come on. Yes, said if you need a healing, begin to praise Him. Oh, if you need a healing, begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him in faith. Let your faith arise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This is your time. This is your season. Sing it. Come on, lead us out one time, brother. Lead us out. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray in a moment. Come on, church. Whoa. Come on, magnify Him. I know you're hurting. There's a swelling, there's great swelling in your legs and your ankles and your feet right now. And it's giving you problems right now. But God's going to cause that swelling to leave. Where are you right now? That swelling, come up here right now. Come up here right now. Come up here right now. Come up here. There's more than one. I believe there's about two, at least two or three that need to come. That's swelling all down your legs, your ankles, and it's giving you such pain. Oh, come on, raise your hands up. There's somebody right now in your heart. You need a miracle in your heart. The devil's come against you. He's been tormenting you. He's been coming against you. Such fear in your heart. There's a brother. Come in here right now, brother, right now. Oh, raise your hands up. Come on. The healer's in the house. The healer's in the house. Oh, we're going to pray for the rest of you in a moment, but right now, hallelujah. Oh, raise your hands up. Oh, yeah. In Jesus' name. Oh, get ready, honey. Get ready. The healer's here. The healer is here. Yeah. Oh, some of the under the knee. And then it's about no. Get ready. It's going to go. Oh, the swelling's going to go, mama. Now. Come here, sweetheart. Come here. Raise your hands up. The heat, yeah, get ready, honey. It's going to touch you. The heart, the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. The heart.